Praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I just encourage you, we're also starting up this fall. It will happen on September the 30th. There is a letter that is available if you did not receive it last week. It didn't make it into the bulletin, but it made it at the end of service, and it's out on the help desk. It's a letter of invitation. We're asking everyone here to help us to invite those that maybe have called Rockcliffe their home over the years. Maybe you know of one or two or 10 or 12 that you would help us to make that invitation out to them. Maybe you have their email, then we can email you the letter so you can send it off. You can just imagine if we try to send a stamped version of the snail mail to everyone, the cost would be quite high. So together we are better. Amen. And so if you can help us with that, we'd really encourage you to grab one of the letters. If they're run out there, then if you can see Kim or see Dave Adams or see Casey, then they will print you off some more so that we can get a copy into your hands as we celebrate. But on the 30th at 2 p.m., on the 30th, Saturday the 30th, we are going to start our very first Joy Ministries, which is just older youth, and our ministry is going to be a homecoming, we're calling it, and basically it's going to be hymn sing and gospel sing. So if you are interested in joining there, maybe you're like, man, I love to sing, and you've sing solos or you've done them before, you'd like to give it a try, then if you could see Dave Adams, he is putting that together along with Ken Applin. They're putting together, and they're looking for a few soloists to join in, plus the corporate hymns and songs that they're going to sing. So if you'd like to be a part of that, that's September the 30th at 2 p.m. And if you can see Dave Adams, then that would be great as he just preps and prepares for that day. So exciting for what God has in store for us. Amen? And that he put a phrase in my heart, and I'm not going to go back there right now, but the phrase was, it's only going to get better. And that sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. And that was a song we used to sing. And he put a phrase in my heart and said, it's only going to get better. It's time to look at the glass half full instead of half empty. Because with God, all things are possible. Amen? And that last week I started just briefly into the seven I am statements of Christ. And that the seven statements of Christ, I think there's a PowerPoint, Dave, there, if you can find it. If it didn't get loaded, it's under common. So I'll just leave that with you. But the seven I am statements that you can find in John. You can find in John, there's seven statements where Jesus expresses really who he is. And so these statements you find are in John chapter 6. Says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Basically, he's trying to say to us, he's our sustainer. Last week, we talked about John chapter 8. I am the light of the world. He's our illuminator. Without Christ, we would be in utter darkness. The Bible says it this way, that the devil has blinded the eyes of the unbeliever. And for someone that's blind, what do they live in? They live in a blindness that covers with a darkness that they don't see the color, they don't see the light, they don't see what's around. Oh, don't get me wrong. If there's someone here that they can't see naturally, Holy Spirit, he opens our hearts that you can see in many different ways, amen? But in that part, as he's talking about in the spiritual realm, without Christ, we would be blind. We wouldn't be able to see what is right and what's wrong, what's true, what's not, what's good and what's not. It would be full of selfish ambition, and it would be full of our pride and just selfish gain. Then he goes on, and we're going to talk about this one. In John chapter 9, he says, I am the door of the sheep. He's our mediator. The next I am statement is found in John chapter 10 and verse 11 and 14. Just a couple verses after, he says, I am the door. He says, I am the good shepherd. Meaning he's our caregiver. He takes care of us. You can trust him. Then he says, I am the resurrection and life in John chapter 11. He's the life giver. We're not going to find life by riding the behemoth at Canada's Wonderland and getting our hearts started with excitement. We're not going to find life in the things that we do around us. We're going to find life in one place, and that's in Christ. Then he says his bold statement in John 14. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He's our leader. He is our everything. And Jesus says his last I am in John 15. He says, I am the true vine. That success and a future and a hope all comes out of him by being connected to him. He says he's got in advance prepared every good work for your life. We spend most of our energy trying to find out what good things we should do. We spend a lot of energy and time trying to figure out, is this the person to marry? Is this the place I'm supposed to go to school? Is this the thing I'm to do? Is this what I should buy? Is this? We spend a lot of energy on that. And Christ is saying, be still and know that I'm God. I prepared in advance every good thing for you. So if you're wait on me and you're rest in me, I'll lead you. He says, my burden is light and my yoke is easy. If you're finding it heavy today, then simply can I be bold enough to say maybe you're doing a little bit too much on your own strength and ability and not on his. Because he says he will never lay anything heavy-fitting or ill-fitting upon you that you and him can't handle. The problem is when he becomes the little and we become the great, we realize we're not that great, are we? We just can't handle all the problems, the stresses, the things that come our way. It's just overwhelming us. Oh, we might be strong for a little while, or we look to our right and our left and say, well, I'm stronger than them. But we start to realize we just don't have enough. We don't have all the wisdom. We don't know what to do. We don't understand. We don't have the strength. We don't know how to combat all these things. But when we allow him to become strong and we humble ourselves, then we realize, man, there is nothing that God can't do. And through Christ who strengthens me, there's nothing I can't do in him. Because he is all that he said he is and so much more. See, these great I am passages, Jesus is telling us who he is. He's sharing with us his innermost conviction about his own life. The statement, I am the door, and that's what we're going to focus on today, or I am the gate, depending on what version you read, is found in John chapter 10, verse 7 and verse 9. It's the third of the seven I am declarations that Jesus recorded in John. These I am proclamation points, they're very unique about his character, about who he is, his divinity, his identity, his purpose. In this statement, Jesus colorfully points out to us the exclusive nature of salvation by saying that he is the door, not a door, he is the door. Forevermore, Jesus is not only our shepherd who leads us into the sheepfold, but he is the only door by which we may enter to be saved. John chapter 10, 9. Jesus, the only means we have to receive eternal life. John 3, 16. There is no other way. That's not Phil trying to be bold and make a statement. That's not Rockcliffe trying to be bold and make a statement. That's the word of God being bold and giving us a way, a truth, and a life, and his name is Jesus. We need to understand in the world that we live in today where there is no absolutes, where anything goes, and that the world is starting to creep into so many Christians' lives that we're now starting to, well, you know, maybe there could be some other ways than that, but this is the way I'm choosing, but there's a... Jesus has boldly said, there is no other way. And if we believe that he is true, and we embrace that, well, then the Bible says, freely you've received, now you freely give. And we need to share that with our kids and our family. We need to share it with those around us. And that's so that we don't end up getting pulled into this intolerant realm that we're in, or in this multi-roads and everything else, that everything is okay. There's a sense in which the sayings of Jesus gather up the whole gospel message. It shram wraps it together when Jesus in his seven I am statements. Today, as we talk about I am the door, settling the claim of Jesus in this story as the great shepherd. Jesus' hearers do not fully understand when they're told it, so he, without reservation, as plainly and as boldly as he can, he made the reference to himself by saying in John chapter 10, verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Let me give you the setting for a few moments here just to help get us into the setting of what is taking place. In Jesus' day, there were two kinds of sheepfolds. There was a communal sheepfold that was found in the villages or found in towns. The shepherds keeping their sheep out in the fields by day would bring them back into the village at night. They would be enfolded into the sheepfold. It was a place that had a strong door. The door had a doorkeeper, and he would lock the door. Only the doorkeeper had the key to the door, and no one could enter the sheepfold except a shepherd known by the doorkeeper. This reveals kind of that protection side that Jesus offers to us, that when we walk in him and we listen to him and we come to him, then the false teachers and the people that just are kind of itchy ears and wanting to, God protects us. And that as we come into his fold, we come into him and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. Your word is the way, the truth, and the life. I'm going to get it into me so it starts to come out. Kind of like the banker when all of a sudden the new teller gets on and they said, okay, we're going to train you. Part of their training is learning what the real dollar or bills look like. Studying it, looking for what they're supposed to look like, what's supposed to be on them, and how it's supposed to be. So that when a counterfeit comes along, that's not real. Whoa, something's wrong with that. And they red flag it right away. But if you don't know the real thing, if you don't know the very presence of God, you don't know his word, then every one of us in this room can be deceived. Every one of us. It's only the truth that sets us free. That's why the word of God is not just a little devotional. It's not just a little side thing that, oh, it'd be nice to kind of read once in a while. Oh, I need a little help or I need this. No, we need to get it into us so when and that the enemy tries to bring something around us to get us off track, we can say, whoa, wait a second here. And as one pastor used to share with me, and I used to share over the last 10 years quite often, I say, can you give me scripture and verse for that, please? It's my famous line now. Can you give me scripture and verse for that, please? So that I can understand where you're coming from. I can understand what you're trying to say to me, because what you're trying to say to me, something doesn't feel right. I don't. Maybe I'm not knowledgeable enough to understand it, and that's okay, because Holy Spirit is. And he says there's a bearing of witness in everyone that's a believer in Christ that comes into Christ's fold. There's a protection he puts where all of a sudden, if we listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, he will prompt us to say, that's not a good conversation. That's not a good truth to listen to because it's not truth. And he'll prompt us in that, but he draws out what we put in. And we need to get the word into our lives. We need to get it into our hearts. But the second kind of fold, sheepfold that the Bible talks about, and in that day they would have known very well, it was during the warm seasons where the shepherds would take the sheep far away from the villages and the towns. They would stay gone for weeks at a time. At night they would enclose the sheep in folds that they built on the hillside, whether it be of rocks and that, or by stick, and that sometimes they would put thistles around and they'd pack it up and pack it up so you can imagine the little nicks and cuts on them as they did it. They would try to build it as high as they could. They say approximately about 10 feet tall with only one entrance point. There was no door on that entrance. Once the shepherd had put all the sheep in the fold for the night, he himself would lay down across the opening. So there was this sense in which the good shepherd was the door.
For the sheep to enter or depart from the sheepfold, they had to pass over the shepherd's body. It was that kind of sheepfold that Jesus was talking to when he referred to himself as the door. And all those that are around would have got it and understand, because in that culture, and that's where you and I sometimes have some problems when we're reading the Bible, is we don't understand the Jewish culture. We don't understand the culture of that day because we're so far removed. Even our farmers here today that might have sheep or cattle, it's totally different than it was back then. And so our concepts of trying to grab the word and the depth, the meaning of what he's trying to say sometimes get lost. And that, like some people, they'll run so quick when they're looking to define a word from Scripture, and they'll go back to Webster's Dictionary, and they'll run off of what Webster's Dictionary says that meaning is, but sometimes it's not the right meaning, because that's the meaning in English. But the Bible was never written in English, originally. BlueLetterBible.com. I encourage you to go on there. There's a lexicon that you can click on. When you click on your verse, you can click on that, and it'll give you every Greek or Hebrew word or Aramaic word for the words in Scripture, and then the definition of what it really meant in that time. It's time that we begin not just be readers of the word, but that we actually begin to study the word and get into it. In the most literal sense, the shepherd was the door. For there was no access into the sheepfold except through him. All roads don't lead to heaven. All roads don't lead to heaven. It has become politically correct to hold an idea that many religions are right and good, and that sincere followers of those other religions will be saved too. But Jesus strikes that down. It says, wait a minute, no. Anyone that tries to get to heaven outside of Jesus Christ is a thief and a robber. Because they're trying to gain access over the wall. They're trying to gain access through the wall. They're trying to gain access under the wall and finding some other way to get in except Jesus. Yet Jesus makes this bold statement saying, no, I am the way, the truth. No, I'm the door. And no one can come into the fold unless they pass by me. And he makes this bold statement. Can you imagine how irate the Pharisees and different ones were? And that, how dare you make this statement? That's why they crucified him. That's why they were angry with him. Yeah, but sometimes, are we much different? It's easy to point a finger at someone, isn't it? Those Romans. Oh, those crazy Jews in that day. If I was there, I would love Jesus. And I would tell him, don't do that. But are we any different? The Bible says that we crucify him all over again. Over and over again, sometimes by our actions or our lack of actions. Jesus says, I am the door. Not all roads lead to heaven. Any attempt to get inside the sheep pen in any other way meant that they were a thief or a robber. The true sheep would only respond to the voice of the gate, of the door. He says, my sheep know my voice. They will refuse to follow thieves, and they would attempt that it would attempt to lead them in a different direction because they knew their shepherd's voice. Do you know his voice today? Not just about him, but are you taking the time to sit at his feet? Are you taking the time to wait on him and listen to him and let him speak into your life? Because listen, in this world that we live in, it is difficult and it is hard. In fact, it is impossible to serve the Lord without him. And we have so many people all across North America that are filling our pews and filling our churches that don't really know him. They know him, they know about him, they like certain things, but they don't have that personal relationship. Or if they did, they cashed it in. They cashed it in like Esau, and that for a bowl of soup, for some fat or something that would fill them or satisfy them for a moment, but it wasn't what God had for them. He's our door. And we are his sheep. And he says, my sheep, they know my voice. It's not a parable because it doesn't start with the word or the phrase, the kingdom of God is like. But it's a word picture that Jesus has given us. In fact, one of the most magnificent word pictures in all of Scripture. The word picture is not isolated to John chapter 10 when he says, I am the door, I am the way, I am the shepherd. But it can be found throughout Scripture. On the human side, shepherding was very common in the land of Israel. The major part of Judea is a central plateau. It's very rocky. It wasn't really great for crops. So that's where they would graze the sheep. From Bethel to Hebron, they're 35 miles between on a plateau and maybe about 15 to 17 miles wide. The grass was sparse, but that was where the sheep would normally gaze. And the familiar figure on the Judean hills would be the shepherds, and they'd be known by everyone. So when Jesus said, I'm the door, and he's talking about the sheep, everyone got it. So as we get our hearts and our minds set into that Jewish culture of that time, let us get that settled into our heart of just really what he is declaring and saying. The life of shepherd, however, was very hard. It was very long and strenuous. It was outside against all the elements, the heat, the cold. There was little grass in areas, so they had to continually move them around and get them into places. Sheep tended to wander, so they had to go try and find them. There was no protective wall out there on the plateau or on the hillside or wherever they were. It was easy for sheep to get lost, easy for predators to assault and kill. It was easy for thieves to try and steal and rob them for their wool and meat. One historical writes about shepherds says, night, you meet the shepherd, and he's coming back to the fold, sleepless, weather-beaten, and leaning on his staff. Every day was a long, heavy day. There were shepherds in the Old Testament that were well known to the Jewish people. Abraham was a shepherd. Isaac was a shepherd. Jacob was a shepherd. Moses was a shepherd. He tended the flocks in Midian, the flocks of his father-in-law. David was a shepherd boy. Constant vigilance, fearless courage, patient love for his flock were necessary characteristics of a good shepherd. This is what Jesus does for you and me when he says, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the door. He said he's vigilant. He's constantly, the Bible says, he's at the Father's right hand interceding for you and for me, day in and day out. He's constantly interceding for us. Every time the enemy comes to shake his finger in your face and say, you're no good, oh, you're this, oh, you're not a good Christian, or you're not this, or you're not that, Jesus is standing beside God, and he's saying, you know what? No. That's mine. That's my son. That's my daughter. That's mine. No, that's not true. And he's whispering, and Holy Spirit is speaking into our heart. If we would just listen, we would realize that all of a sudden the lies, the fear, the anxiety, the worry, and that the stuff the enemy tries to dump on us, the shame, the guilt, the stuff, Jesus has given us a way that we can be free from it all. For whom the Son sets free is. But if we keep trying to do it any other way, we're going to find that not all roads lead to heaven. Not all roads lead to happiness or peace, or not all roads lead to fulfillment in our lives. The most well-known shepherd in the Old Testament was God himself. We know the familiar scripture of Psalms 23. He says, the Lord is what? He is my shepherd. Psalm 77:20 says, you lead your people like a flock. Psalm 79:13 says, we, your people, and the sheep of your pastures will give thanks to you. Oh, I don't know about you. If you ever have a blue day or a down day, I'll tell you right now, the way to break through is just start to give thanks to God. Anything. It will break anything. I'm telling you. The way into the throne room of God is give thanks. Once you start to give thanks, things start to change. All of a sudden, your perspective of your wife or your husband or your kid that's kind of getting you, you start to give thanks. You know what? I'm so thankful for my kids right now. I'm thankful for this. Or it's your boss, or it's something else that's getting you distorted, and you're like, oh, and you're just something grinding you or bothering you. Just start to think about a few good things you can give thanks for, and I'm telling you right now, the enemy will flee. Or you're feeling under attack, and you feel like the enemy, begin to open your lips and begin to praise God. You begin to lift up Jesus and just how good he is. I'm telling you right now, the devil cannot stand it, and he can't stay. The problem is we're going through life too much with our lips closed, and we're saying nothing. We're not opening it up. We're not declaring his goodness. We're not giving thanks. We're not returning the glory back to him because the enemy's got us so silent. Silence. Oh, well, you can't sing, so don't open your mouth. Oh, you know, you're not as smart as this one, so don't say anything. Oh, this or that. How do we overcome the enemy? But by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We need to open our lips. We need to let that thanksgiving, we need to let that praise begin to come out more and more. Psalms 81:1 says, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. Or Psalms 95 says, he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. That's to say that shepherding was very intimate. Jesus really wants to have an intimate relationship. That's why I don't get thrown off by the buzzwords that go around right now in Christianity. You know, sometimes, oh, forgive me, sometimes Christianity can be such a business. You get it off of all sorts of things. It can get run around in so many different ways. Why? Because once you get an engine moving so fast, you need a little more fuel to put in there. Otherwise, it'll stop. And the more you add to it, it's got a this, it's got a that. And then if you want to hang on to something and everything's moving in this direction, then what do? We have to put down those things. We have to tear that down in order to make this stay and hang on to. Oh, sometimes it gets pretty crazy in churches and it gets pretty crazy in Christianity. Jesus is saying to us, he's saying, wait a second here. When people say to me, I'm not into the religious thing, I say, great, because Jesus and I, we're not in it either. So don't get thrown off when someone says to you, as you're trying to share Jesus with them, I'm not into the religious thing. You just say back, you know, I'm not either. Now, you better not be, otherwise they'll see it. But that relationship, I'm into spending time with Jesus. And when I spend time with him, I'm telling you, everything is different. Everything changes around me, starting right in here. Half of the problem with this world is not everyone else. It's me. It's me. It's the filters of my life, the hurts and the pains and the things that when all of a sudden I see someone, remember I talked about names? I'm talking about names when we were looking for names for our kids and looking through books, and all of a sudden I'm reading through and I'm like, man, I'm not calling my daughter this name because I remember this girl and that when she asked for an answer on a test, I gave it to her. And then she went and raised her hand and said, oh, teacher, he's cheating. And I got in trouble. And I'm like, whoa, I was just trying to be nice. She was kind of cute. I thought, hey, come on. And then I get in trouble. So I'm like, no way I'm naming that. Or this guy, I'm not naming him that because he was a bully to me. So I don't want my kid to be a bully. Names carry weights. And Jesus is saying to us here, he's calling out to us, he says, I'm the door. I'm the good shepherd. I'll take care of you. Trust me. Come into the fold. Come to me, you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. True rest. True rest. Jesus makes this statement, John 10:9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. See, the life to which Jesus calls us, the door that is Jesus himself, is an open door to life. The thief comes to rob, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I come to give life, and life more abundant. He's got a life for you and me that he's prepared and he's got ready, and he's saying, hey, join in with it, and you'll find true fulfillment. There's quality, a quality of life that we can never know apart from Jesus. For not only are a person saved, delivered, and healed through Jesus, who is the door that is closing something behind them, but if you enter through Jesus, the door, the next verse says, or the next part of it is, of that verse says, they will go in and out and find pasture. It's a beautiful imagery of being protected and sustained. It is a life of trustful relationship with God and a loving service to your neighbors. Not only coming in to get protected, but going out so we can bring more people back in. There is no more greater characteristic or characteristic phrase describing the Christian life than that, a life of loving service to our neighbors. It's the going out is as important as coming in. Freely you've received, now freely give. John 10:9, I am the gate, whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. This is a reference to the kingdom and recalls the words of Psalms 23:2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Ah, Jesus, foundation, salvation is found in him. He's the gate to the kingdom. No one can enter except through him. John 3:3 or John 14:6 helps us understand that. Having entered through him, we have the freedom to come and go as we please. There's a freedom in him that he says everything, and that everything might be permissible, but not everything's beneficial. So as we live our life, don't judge the person next to you because all of a sudden they're doing this, and you're like, whoa, I don't think they should do that. And really, we say that mostly because we don't do it. Everything is permissible. It's just not all beneficial. And that's why we all have to not look to our right and our left and say, oh, well, Norma, she does this, so I guess I can do that. Well, no. Norma's had lots of experience and things that she's gone through, trials and troubles and good moments that have helped ground her through the moments that this thing won't overtake her. But for me, if I do what she does, solely based off the fact that she does it, I could get myself in a real mess. That's why we have to come back to the word as an individual and say, Jesus, what do you want me to do? And I'll tell you, there's some things that God puts in my heart and he tells Phil not to do that to others it looks like foolishness. What do you mean? You're religious or you're this because you don't do this or you don't do that. But that's the convictions he's put in my heart. I have to be true to those. Just like the convictions he puts on your heart, you have to be true to them. Just don't take your conviction and throw it onto someone else. Let the Lord speak into their heart. Let him draw out the word to them. He doesn't work the same way with all of us. He doesn't work A, as soon as you get saved, A, then he does B, then he does C, then he does this, and when he gets to Z, you're headed home. No, it's not how God works. I don't know about you, but there's times in our lives when we get, you know, people have got saved and all of a sudden right away they're delivered from this and this and this and this has dropped and that has dropped. And we're just like, whoa, it's like God did B, F, Q, R, and S all at once. And then to someone else, all of a sudden he does A. Does God love one more than the other? Not at all. He just knows your life better than you do. Will you trust him? Sometimes in life, all of a sudden, we're walking through, and it's like God opens the door to D, and I'm like, woo, this is exciting. It's a brand new step with him. But then if I look to my right, I see Christina's open to Q and R, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, I'm the pastor. God just opened D to me. Oh, my goodness, she's already a Q, and she got double. Come on, that's what happens so many times in our lives and in church. God's saying, get your eyes off of everything else and fix it on me. I don't work the same in every person. I don't do the same things all over the same way all the time. I'm God. I do whatever I want and when I want and how I want because I have a plan and I got a purpose. Will you trust me? Now listen, Holy Spirit will never, ever, can I ever say ever, say anything opposite to the Word of God. Holy Spirit only illuminates Christ and reveals the Scripture because Jesus is the Scripture. And Holy Spirit is there to draw us to Christ so we can embrace him. We can walk through the door into the pen that God has prepared in advance for every one of us. So there's a lot of foolish things that get said and a lot of things that get done in the name of excitement or this or that or in the name of trying to hang on to something. And God is simply saying, hey, will you be my sheep? Don't try and be the shepherds. Just be my sheep and let me lead you. Will you be that child again? And let me lead you into all truth. I will protect you. You can trust me. Jesus promises us this abundant life, the King James says, or a life to the full. The word in the Greek is literally translated as superabundance or an excessive. I don't know about you, but that sure sounds pretty exciting to me. It's not just a word for full, it's a word for extreme fullness. The problem is when we look at our definitions in Scripture, our definitions of Scripture word or what God is saying, we go to Webster's Dictionary, we go to our culture. Our culture is so about this. Is it not? If you don't got it, you're not anyone. If you got it and it's gone to your head, you're a snob. Money. Money talks. Money. Money, money, money. If you don't have money, what do you want? I need more money. I got to do whatever. I got to do this. I got to work double shifts. So I got no time for my kids. I got to work double shifts because I want this. I want, I want, I want, I want. We get ourselves in such a tither, such in a thing that we get so overwhelmed by life that life ends up controlling us. What kind of life is that? That's not what Jesus promised us. Life to the full. That we can learn to be content in all circumstances. That everything that God pours down blessing upon us will turn back to praise to him. That we won't allow the things of this world to dictate and control us anymore because we've given that one high place to one person and his name is Jesus. If you're a believer today, then that's what you did. So sometimes we got to remind ourselves that that's what we did. We gave him permission to mess up our course of life so that we might find true life in him. He's got a way. He's got a truth and a life for you and for me if we would surrender to him and stop trying to do it our own way. Dr. Phil said it this way, how's it working for you? And in truth, when there's too much Phil in the mix, it's not working really good if I'm honest. Oh, my pride keeps a face on there and a mask to say I'm doing okay. But when there's too much fill, it doesn't work so well. Let him lead. Let him be that place for you. Doors provide a few things as I close. The words, doors provide access. In the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 3, we see that when God banished Adam and Eve out of the garden, he set an angel with blazing fire and that right at the entrance of the garden and wouldn't let him back in. But then in John 14, we see Jesus coming and saying, whoa, the doors are flung wide open and I'm now the door. There is a way, there's a truth in the life. Everyone, my desire is everyone to come in. And now you can have access through me. He's given us access. Doors provide protection. We see in Noah and the ark and that protection and that when the flood was coming, Genesis chapter 7, the Lord shut the door to protect them. He shut the door so that they could be protected. Revelations 3:7 puts it this way. The angel of the church of Philadelphia writes, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. Doors provide protection. If you trust Jesus, he'll shut doors on that girl that you shouldn't be around, or that guy, or that deal, the business deal that you're about to walk into, that partnership or whatever. He'll shut the door on it to protect you, or he'll open a door and give you a little nudge out because he's trying to bring that life to you. You can trust him. You can trust him. Luke 13:24 says, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. There's only one way, and that is to surrender your heart to Jesus Christ, to believe that he is who he said he is, and to walk in that truth. Not only do the doors provide access, they provide protection, and that doors also provide a point of choice. We see in the crowded door, we see in Mark 2:1-5, where it was so crowded, even the doorway was crowded, there was no more entrance in. So the four friends decided to come, and they rip open the roof, and they drop their friend down before Jesus because they're so desperate to get there. There's a lot of crowdedness around the door. Options and ways and thinking this way, do this or do that. And Jesus reminds us, whoa, wait a second here. Yes, it's crowded. He says, but remember, I am the way. Do you remember in Psalms 51, King David wrote this, and the setting for it was David had just got found out. What did he get found out of? He had become involved with Bathsheba in an adulterous affair. He'd gone so as far to plan the death of her husband with shame, pretense, intrigue. So many of the great commandments of Israel were broken by the king himself. You can almost feel the tears in his voice. You can almost hear the cracking as he cries out to God. In Psalms 51, he says, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy steadfast love. According to your abundant mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from all my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Create in me a clean heart. O God, put a new and right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Oh, listen to me. The New Testament puts it this way. Who cut in on you? What cut in on you that's robbed the joy of your salvation? Just that raw joy of, it's good to be in his presence. It doesn't matter what happens. Just good to be in his presence. And he calls us back into that relationship that's not based off, if God doesn't do this for me right now, I don't know if I'm serving him. Kind of like that cosmic genie in the sky, the vending machine. If I press, I want this, I press B21, it better come out as that ruffled chips or I'm going to be upset. God doesn't work that way. He says, trust me. Trust me. We have the last of that point of choice the door creates is the narrow gate. Matthew 7:13-14. Enter through the narrow gate, for the wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. It's narrow. You must enter it by yourself. It's not mom and dad's thing. It's not your husband or your wife's thing. It's not your sister or brother's thing. It's not grandma's thing. You have to enter it by yourself. You have to come to that place in your heart to settle. Is he my king? Is he my door? Is he my shepherd? It's a choice. It's the door of your heart. Revelation 30:20 says, I'm here, I am. I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come and I will eat with them and they will eat with me. He provides access. He provides direction. He brings us to a point of decision every time. And that's what makes us squirm sometimes in church. That's what makes us squirm in his presence sometimes, is because he's pushing us and he's moving us into a point of decision. Will we follow? Will we listen? Will we heed? Will we take the word, not just hear it, but put it into practice? And the Holy Spirit's constantly pricking at our hearts and speaking to our hearts and moving us. It's not a bad thing to feel uncomfortable in church. It's actually a good thing because we allow Holy Spirit to move us. None of us here are perfect. Every one of us have things to work on. You can let your guard down and just breathe. Take a big breath and go, oh, okay, I'm not the only one that's not perfect in here. We're all not perfect. We're all in an attempt together to try and reach out, hear him, and move with him, not only to be a part of the kingdom, get into the fold, but to be able to go out and grab more people and bring them in with a mission and with a purpose. Last scripture, Galatians 2:20, come up behind me. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He's my door. Is he yours? He's my way. Is he yours? Let's be 100% engaged in the life that he's called us to live. Let's open our hearts to him and say, God, what do you really have for me? Because I'm telling you, when you embrace him, it's only going to get better. That doesn't mean everything works peachy creamy. Not at all. We go through trials of many kinds. But I know it's not going to be cancer. It's not going to be some diabetes. It's not going to be some car accident. It's not going to be something else that takes my life. My life is not in the hands of everyone or anyone. My life's are in his. That I trust that he's got a plan for me. If my plan means another day, well, I want to live that to the full. I want to live that with everything inside of me to accomplish what he has. If he says, hey, Phil, you got another week. If we were all told today, you got 1 week to live. I can probably say with confidence, every one of us would live our life a little bit different. Would we not? If we're really truthful, we'd live our life a little bit different. We'd shift some priorities. We'd get on our knees maybe a little more. We'd rearrange some things in our life. Well, Jesus says, that's the way I want you to live every day of your life. Because when you live that way, it just opens up the door for everything. Allow me to reign in your life. Allow me to move in your life. Allow me to flow. Let me to speak to you and move in such a way that you can now not only come into my kingdom, but you can partner with it and bring a little bit of heaven down to earth. Because your life matters. That's why he saved you. That's why he's got a plan for you. Is because there's people that he's got for you to contact, for you to touch, for you to speak, for you to pray for them to come in contact with Christ too. It's not just about coming into the fold, but it's about being able to go out and grab and come back in again. Going out and grab and coming back in again. Shedding out a little bit of love to our neighbors so that everyone can taste and see that he is good. Heavenly Father, I just thank you right now. Oh, Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for what you're speaking into our hearts and the challenges that you're bringing to us. Oh, Jesus, it just gets me so excited that you're not finished with Rockcliffe yet. You're not finished with Phil. You're not finished with our families here today. But you got so much more in store. God, may we shut down that robber and that thief that's trying to come in some other way or get us distracted at the door, to the crowded door to get distracted. Oh, maybe I don't deserve. Or maybe this, or maybe that. God, just break those things off and would you just come? Would you illuminate to us? For you are the light of the world. Would you illuminate today and speak? Lord, for the one that's here, maybe hasn't made that personal commitment to say, you know what? You're my door. You're my king. You know what? No longer I that live. I just want you. You got a plan for me. I need to figure that out. I got to figure this stuff out. And they want to start that quest or that journey that you talk about. God, Lord, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, you'd speak into their heart and you would bring them to that point of conviction that they would say, you know what? Yeah, that's me. If you're here today and that's you, with all eyes closed and heads bowed, I'm just going to ask you to slide your hand up for a second. If you're here today and you know God's speaking into your heart and you're saying, you know, that's me. I need Jesus in my life. And you're here today, I'm just going to pause for a moment. If you feel Holy Spirit pricking your heart, I just encourage you to raise your hand. Just, I want to pray with you. Is there anyone here? Okay, I see that hand. Is there anyone else? Let's pray. Let's pray with this person. Dear Heavenly Father, would you just illuminate yourself, your goodness? For you are good. But life so encrowds us, that door gets so crowded with pain and hurt and people's thoughts and this and that, ambitions, all sorts. God, would you just come right now? Would you just pull back all those things so we can see clearly? I pray for my friend that you just open the eyes and see you. I know you're already speaking. I know you're already moving. Otherwise, we wouldn't raise our hand. We wouldn't open our heart. But this is the day you have made. And it's a good day for salvation. So Jesus, as we believe in our hearts, we confess with our lips, you're my door. You're my king. You are my way, the truth, and the life. And there is no other. Lord, I pray as you continue the journey you've already started, may every day be full of life and life in the abundant of what you are leading in. Lord, for the rest of us, Lord, that are here today, Lord, that sometimes we get so crowded by all the things around us. Today we simply come back to that last bit of that chorus that we were singing. You can have it all, Lord. Every part of my world. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, as we embrace those words. Take my life and breathe on this heart that is now yours. You can have it all, Lord. Every part of my world. Take this life and breathe on this heart that is now yours. Lord, that's our prayer. That's our prayer. It doesn't matter how old we are. It doesn't matter how young we are. It doesn't matter how long we've been saved. We all need that fresh breath of God upon our lives. Oh, bring the joy back, the joy of our salvation. If there's anyone here that needs a cleansing of their heart, in the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus paid for it all. Just come to him and lay it down. Maybe it's something you've said or something you're doing or something that's happening around or something you're about to move into. Choose the high road. Choose the right door. Let him lead you. He'll close the door you shouldn't and he'll open the other one. God, I pray right now for this sensitivity level of everyone's heart to rise. You said your sheep know your voice, but somehow we believe the lie and that all the things we've done wrong has deafened your voice so much that we really don't know what you're saying or doing. And we believe this lie that we move ourselves back into a corner as if we're against the wall and the enemy's just beating us and the gates of hell are prevailing. But you said the gates of hell are not prevailing because you're building your church and the gates of hell will not prevail. That in fact, that we're to be moving forward and pushing his gates back. All those lies, would you break them right now? Everyone in the sound of my voice can hear his voice. If you love Jesus and you're here today and you say, I'm a Christian, then you can hear his voice. Stop the lies that you lack something. You lack nothing in Christ. So Lord, I just thank you for what you're speaking right now and what you're going to speak this week. Oh, it's only going to get better. It's only going to get better because Lord, now we're going to open our ears and we're going to hear what you have to say. We're going to let you open doors and close doors. We're going to trust you because you are our door. You are our good shepherd and we give you thanks. So Lord, I pray blessing over each and every one that they would have ears to hear what the Spirit says. And not only ears to hear, but they'd have a boldness. Like you said to Joshua, be bold, be strong, for the Lord thy God is with you. A boldness to be able to follow through on what you have for their life. A life of hope and a future. So bless each and every one, I pray. And I just give you thanks for all that you're going to do. And as we come back tonight, Lord, God, Lord, I pray that you would just reveal yourself once again, Lord, as we open ourselves up, and that to hear from you and to walk with you. Lord, we just give you thanks for all that you have done and you're about to do in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you. We love you. And we bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. I just encourage you, and that if you'd like prayer or maybe something that I said, you're like, whoa, I'd like to talk about that. I'll hang around for a moment. I'd love to pray with you. If you're here today and you've got a sickness in your body, and the Bible says to call on the elders and lay hands on the sick that they may recover, we love to pray. And that because we love to see Jesus lifted high. Amen. So I just encourage you to come and let us pray for you. God bless you. We'll see you tonight at 6:30.